go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Alrighty, thanks for coming along, thanks for joining me as we reach the midpoint of this first week back for me after my bout of ickiness, which I'm slowly putting behind me. Not back to 100% yet, but enough of a percentage to be behind the microphone. So I hope you'll have plenty of input this evening. We've got a guest coming along about the beginning of the second hour. We'll be talking to Byron DeLeer. Byron DeLeer is a candidate for Congress in the state of Missouri. Or for some people in the audience, I suppose you have to say Missouri. In the second congressional district there, he's up against a right-wing Bush lickspittle by the name of Todd Akin. Or will be after the primary. We'll be talking to him in the second hour. I think you'll find the conversation enlightening and enjoyable. But before we ever get anywhere near that, well, it is the midpoint of the week. It most assuredly is. And, well, you know what that means. It's not just any day of the week. No, no, no. Brothers and sisters, it's prayer meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Present for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Thank you, choir master. Brothers and sisters, come on down the blood-red carpet. Put your hands upon the subwoofer here at the altar and feel the healing waves of common sense flowing through you and bringing you the miraculous power of your mind. Ha! Hallelujah. Yes. It is prayer meeting. It's Wednesday evening here on Head On. And feel free to share any sort of religious lunacy that you'd like to share. I don't know how I'm going to pull this off, but I love our prayer meeting song. I am forever in John Fox's debt for sharing that with us. And I went into my local pharmacy yesterday. And I guess our local pharmacist is a fundy, and I feel sorry for the people that work with him, because when that pharmacist is on duty, this is not a plug because I hate the bastards, but you know Rite Aid, right? You go into Rite Aid and there's crappy pop music from 30 years ago playing, and then between songs, hey, aren't you glad you're in Rite Aid? Over on aisle 9, you'll find anti-diarrheal medicine on sale today at Rite Aid, your source for great health. And then, it'll break into you're so vain, or I've got the trots, or something like that. But not our pharmacist. He counters all that demonic music. He counters the demonic music with one of those discs, I guess, from Time Life. New from Time Life. Praise Power. Only $19.95 per installment. You'll receive all 72 discs of today's hottest Christian praise music. It's all just a glorified, overproduced version of Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. And I'm standing there waiting on my script, and I got to listen to this drivel and this dreck. And, yuck, just ick. And so I'm wondering if there's some way, because, just listening to my iPod, I don't know, maybe I could take an MP3 player and have my little earbuds in and be singing at the top of my voice, I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches, when I go into the Rite Aid. But I'd really rather let him hear it. We gotta make. You remember the 70s? When people would walk around with their little transistor radios up against their ears, and their heads would be bobbing back and forth and stuff, and you could hear it and everything. Right. Need something like that, so I can make sure that modern Christianity is playing the next time I go to pick up the prescription. Because, God, that's offensive. Here's a guy who's not working by himself. He's got co-workers with him there, but he's the pharmacist, and they're pharmacy techs, and they don't dare say a word about this pustulant music, because they'll lose their jobs. And they have to put up with it. And I feel for them. Because as a customer, I have to put up with it. I don't know. Maybe I'll call Harrisburg, the home of Rite Aid, your source for great health. And sort of low prices, kind of once in a while. Maybe I'll call and register a complaint. But I really do think that he needs to hear... wave your donations in the air. Yeah, really. Don't I have a right to sort of counter that crap? Yeah, I think I do. So, I don't know. That's just another day in the life here. Because I've been, because of the stuff I went through in the last week, I've been doing a little walking in other people's shoes. What happened to me was roughly the same thing that put John Ashcroft in the hospital back when they were trying to run the domestic spying bill by him. And I really have an appreciation for what a bunch of heartless, soulless, cruel, vicious bastards the Bush administration are, because I can tell you, when you're laying there in that kind of pain and somebody from work comes along to tell you that, you know, he's got something you need to do, and I don't care what your job is. It is not something that needs to be done to you. Oh, by the way, tornado warning out. Not a watch, but a warning. That means a funnel cloud has been sighted. Has been issued for Northern Virginia, D.C., and the Baltimore area. Mark, this means go to the basement. Okay, buddy? Please? Because we love you. And if you hear a freight train, it ain't one. Okay? But... well, just keep an eye out, Mark. We don't want to see you. We don't want to see you. Oh, okay. It's passed. It's passed. All right. Thank you, Mark. We just didn't want to see you, you know, flying up in the air with, you know, some green-skinned Republican pedaling past you on a bicycle. Okay? Just checking. You know, we worry. It's our job. So that's... That's where, you know, that's kind of where we begin this evening. I've got a story here, disturbing as all get out, about revival sweeping Florida. The spirit of revival is sweeping the Lakeland, Florida area, and it's being brought by a man with a lot of tattoos on him who come from Canada, because there just aren't enough religious fundamentalist weirdos in Canada. And he's healing stuff left and right. This is on the MSNBC website. This is on the website of an organization that considers itself a news/journalism organization. Bentley claims this is about a guy named Bentley. He claims to have performed hundreds of healings. He says God has used him to supernaturally heal hundreds of people of diseases ranging from glaucoma to diabetes to even cancer. You'll notice in that list he doesn't claim to have that God has grown any limbs back. Not even a knuckle. I say that you have nothing to lose but your sickness. If the doctors can't help you, why wouldn't you give God a chance? If you want God, just come get some, he shouts on stage nearly every night. He's been there since April 2nd. The pickings must be pretty damn good. They're calling it the Florida Outpouring of the Spirit. He runs Fresh Fire Ministries. Hallelujah. And here's this utterly uncritical, unquestioning piece of garbage from an organization that considers itself a journalism outfit, goes on and on and on and on. Miracles, and indeed Bentley's claims, have stirred up debates within and outside the church. Oh, really? Do tell. But the real beauty lies in the comments. Thank you, MSNBC, for posting this article. I visited Lakeland a month ago and was impacted by the power and presence of God. My back was healed watching online before I went, and a young man in our group was healed of asthma. One thing I would change about the wording of your article is that we don't believe Todd in himself has the ability to heal us, but that Jesus is using Todd, and in many cases the Holy Spirit is healing people in the meetings totally apart from Todd or anyone else praying for them. If you or someone you know needs healing like Todd says, give God a chance. That's from some idiot named Rich Campbell in Cochranville, Pennsylvania. Ray Saragosa of Denver says, I think this is so awesome. I recently attended the revival and witnessed firsthand people getting out of wheelchairs. One woman in particular, sorry, I'm not responsible for the grammar here. One woman in particular had been at the meetings for 17 straight nights with different people, including myself, praying for her and trying to help her out of the chair in order to receive her healing and walk. She finally was able to, T-O-O. I was back home watching on God.TV. No, tell me no. There is not a www.God.TV. Yes, there is. Oh, shoot. I was back home watching on God.TV. What? Can we have a James Kirk moment here? You remember the Star Trek movie where he asks the big guy in the hologram or whatever, what does God need with a starship? Why does God need the internet? Just asking. I was back home watching on God.TV when she went up to the platform with assistance and got up and walked. I've been a believer since 1982 and I have witnessed an awful lot. But never at this magnitude. I believe if God can use a donkey to rebuke Balaam, he can use Todd Bentley. And that, my friends, from Ray Saragossa of Denver, is damning with faint praise. He just referred to healing evangelist Todd Bentley as Balaam's ass. Praise God, and may this revival spread like a prairie fire. Really? Like a prairie fire? You know what prairie fires do there, Ray Saragossa of Denver, Colorado? Prairie fires kill everything in their path. They roast the little prairie dogs down in the prairie dog holes. They kill the little birds that nest on the ground. Little bunnies burn up in the prairie fire. Why do you hate bunnies, Ray Saragossa of Denver, Colorado? I mean, the fundies have come out of the damn woodwork over this story at MSNBC. Todd Hilton of Fort Myers, Florida. We must not limit God or put him in a box. Really? You can have God in a box? Got me a box full of God. He moves as he pleases, and it's not our job to question. Yeah, he may move as he pleases, but he ain't putting no extra limbs back on, and I have yet to see an eyeball grow in an empty socket and see. So I guess, I don't know, maybe they're worshiping some sort of low-rent, power-limited demigod or something, I don't know. Not even a toenail! I am so happy to see this news, says Kim of, oh my God, not Kim from Florence, Alabama! I am so happy to see this in the news. I've been watching the revival and praying for healing right along with them. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Yeah, oh, Kim, you dummy. You don't even know what's in the Bible, for heaven's sakes. You don't know how it came about. You don't know how that... Oh, shut up, Kim. I'm a Bible-believing Christian and thrilled to see Christians that aren't afraid to show their beliefs in public. God is fulfilling everything He promised. If you are a skeptic, read your Bible. Everything they are doing is in there. Yes, it is. God says to be weary of false prophets. Nah, stupid. He says to be wary of false prophets. Says to... Yeah. I'm so weary of the false prophets. Oh, I'm tired, I tell you. God says to be weary of false prophets, but He also said to test them. So do that. Find in your Bible where Todd is doing anything against God's Word. I'm praying for the people with their eyes blinded. You better pray a lot, sister, because he ain't put no eyeballs back yet.
You better look around before it's too late. You go, Jesus!
No, really. She really put the you go, Jesus in there. I'm not kidding.
You go, Jesus!
Okie dokie. I can't go any further after you go, Jesus. I'm topped. I'm licked. I'm beat. You go, Jesus. Let's go to the phones and see if I can get some help here while I catch my breath. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Oh, Brother Vince.
Praise Jesus.
And hallelujah to you, too.
How are you, sir? Glad to have you back.
Oh, I'm glad to be back, but I tell you what, it's tough. It's tough.
You go, Jesus. Yeah, you go, Jesus. The reason I'm calling in, I was just going to sit back and listen, and then I realized that it was prayer meeting, and you were talking about running into the Rite Aid there. You know, I'm sure you can get them elsewhere, but I've seen these at Walmart. You can get these, like, little portable speaker-type deals, and what they do is they're basically just, they plug right into the bottom of your iPod, and then it basically, like, makes your iPod a little longer, but the bottom is just speakers, and you can just play them off of that.
That could be fun.
Walk in there with that going and just watch everybody kind of look at you.
Yeah, and I could just have that one song on the MP3 player so it would loop.
Maximum volume, wash, rinse, repeat.
Amen. Amen, Brother Vince. Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm kind of having my own little thing. Just an update on the employment situation. I've had two very interesting developments. One is related here. I went and the car that we were driving started developing some problems. So we went to go get it looked at, and make a long story short, we ended up getting another car because it was just as, you know, it was the same car payment, and then it was a, you know, newer car. So that's what we ended up doing. The guy who I bought the car from, the car salesman, was friends with a guy who competes with the company I used to work for.
Okay.
And he called his buddy, you know, because, of course, my employment situation came up with all the paperwork and everything. And he called his friend, and they had a spot. So I've been working with him for the last week and a half or so.
Oh, doing stuff you're used to doing, too. That's always a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, they just call me up. And I'm not really even employed by the company, per se. They just call me on a needed basis, and they've been needing me pretty much consistently for about a week and a half now, so it's been working out pretty well for me. The only downside is these people are dyed-in-the-wood fundies.
Oh, dear.
I'm starting to have to watch my language, which is kind of a stand. I got used to cussing around everybody at work, because everybody where I used to work cussed just right center, and, you know, you get in the habit of doing it. And I'm having to break myself of the habit, and I've got busted a couple times. But, I mean, I'll tell you what, these guys, we go out to lunch, you know, we go out to lunch and whatnot. These people, as soon as we get our food at the Wendy's, won't drive away from the drive-thru window until they've said their grace.
You know, in a way, that's kind of charming, isn't it? But it's awfully damn rude to the people who are sitting behind you at Wendy's not getting to say grace.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I wouldn't mind it so much, but I mean, they haven't said anything per se, but one of the other guys I work with, you know, basically kind of let it know, you know, you're expected to do the same thing, or they might not call you the next day. So, I'm just kind of I need the money, so I'm kind of just having to shut up, grin, and bear it right now.
Well, if you can get away with shut up and grin and bear it, the more power to you. But, you know, the day that they tell you that you have to keep people waiting in line at Wendy's, too, because, you know, why can't you pull over and say grace? Does Jesus only hear you if the motor's running?
I don't know.
Hypocrites. You know, because I mean, there is that whole thing in, I think, Matthew, where Jesus says, if you've got something to say, go say it in the closet and then get out. Because the Pharisees and the Sadducees who pray in the streets have their reward already. I mean, there is that, right? So, I mean, isn't that the same thing? We've got to make sure the girl at the drive-thru window can see that we're saying grace over our food, or she'll think we're heathens of this world.
You know, what I honestly, now this is just my completely unsolicited opinion. I think that's exactly it right there. I think they just want to, it's just another way to shove it in everybody's face. I am going to hold up this line so that this lady here who is giving me this food can see that I am saying grace. The guy talks like that.
Oh, Lord. You know,
Welcome to Georgia!
Yeah, I know. Hey, look, Kim from Florence, Alabama, you know. And let's get something straight here. You know, when a family sits down to dinner, and puts their and holds hands all around the table and says, "We thank thee, O Lord, for this that we are about to receive to the nourishment of our bodies. Please make us mindful of thy ways and thy glories," and yada yada, and amen, and let's eat. I got no problem with that. They're on their turf, they're around their table, they're in their house, and the Constitution says that they have a First Amendment right to do that. But I draw the line at this public stuff. You know, one of the oldest sayings in the world about constitutional law is that your rights end where my nose begins.
Well, unfortunately, you know, this is one of those situations where, and this is we've discussed this before. This is one of those areas where at will employment really sucks.
Yeah, but it's not at will religion.
I know, but the thing is that, you know, these guys own the company, and if I'm out to lunch with them, which I am because I ride with them all day, you know, I just go where they go. I'm just hired help there, basically. And, you know, when they go out to the Wendy's and whatnot, and they're in the drive-thru line, or they're, you know, sitting at the table and whatnot, if I don't wait for the whole grace thing to go and at least pretend like I'm going along with it, by God, they might not call me the next day. And you know what? I can know that it's, you know, my religion or lack of, and you can know it, and everybody on earth can know it.
And of course,
so long as they can say, well, we just let them go because we felt our needs needed to go in a different direction. There ain't nothing to be said about it.
No, there's nothing to be said about it. And if it gets too thick, you can always go out in a blaze of glory by crossing yourself with a French fry. No, we thank you, Lord, for these biggie fries and this biggie burger and all this cholesterol, Lord.
Don't get me wrong. It's the guy I'm working with. They seem to be all right, folks. I mean,
please. I'm not saying that, Vince.
And I'm not saying that either. I'm just saying, don't get me wrong. It's just I don't hang out with people like this generally, and people like this I don't hang out with. So it's kind of interesting to kind of be forced to.
Well, you feel like you're living in a National Geographic special, frankly.
A little bit, yeah, because this is just a whole different kind of animal, ain't it?
Yeah, sure it is. Sure it is. And my curse is that I look below the surface of things. And here are these people sitting in line, saying grace, holding up everybody else who has to get back to work because they, by God, are at-will employees, too, and their ass will be canned if they take a 31-minute lunch instead of a 30-minute lunch, if they get a lunch at all. But because of their piety, they're going to hold them up. And meanwhile, they're expressing their piety at a Wendy's. And, of course, if you take a long look at Wendy's, you'll find out it's not that good. Where did the meat come from, and to what degree was God's creation, i.e. the cow, treated with the dignity that one would treat a part of God's creation? How was the earth that grew the potatoes treated? But, you know, and who picked the lettuce? And has Wendy's militated against the idea of, say, paying an extra 5 cents a tomato so that the people picking them can have something approaching a human life? But no, the only thing that matters is that we sit there in front of the little drive-thru window and we say, "Hallelujah, praise Jesus for my biggie double." I despise hypocrisy,
right.
Vince. I just do.
You and me both. I mean, that is one of the things that I can't stand. And it's kind of funny because in that instance, I kind of have to look at it and go, I hate myself and I hate everybody, because everybody to a certain degree is a hypocrite. But that's just the one thing I almost cannot forgive at all, period, is blatant hypocrisy.
And I don't think you're called upon to forgive it. Because, you know, one of the things that a lot of Christians get wrong is that, you know, they think that we're just supposed to forgive, that people are just supposed to forgive evil. Ah, well, okay, Adolf Hitler, you killed 6 million people, but, you know, you died a good Catholic, so you're forgiven. Wrong. The key to forgiveness is repentance. And until the people who are doing the evil repent, there's no forgiveness. You know, I mean, how can you forgive someone who doesn't think that they've sinned?
That's a very good point.
So, you know, It's a two-edged sword, and the backside of that edge is sharper than the front, I think.
Probably. I'm sitting here. I have to keep remembering to say something because I'm nodding like I'm talking to you, but then I'm on a phone.
It'll be so much better when we get to video.
Yeah, tell me about it. Woo! So anyways, I've been working for this guy. This is funny too, because I've been working for this guy about, cat, get off it. My cat just like jumped on me and like snapped my headphones off.
Yeah, that's the cat's job.
Okay, here we go. So I've been working for this guy for like, a week and a half, 2 weeks now, and I get home yesterday. After he's already told me, you know, let's go in, you know, let's go into work tomorrow. Just come on in at like 8:30 or something. So, I get in, I check my email, and you remember that telecommunications company that I was trying to get with, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
All of a sudden they, after I haven't heard from them for like 2 months, all of a sudden they want me to drop what I'm doing today and come pee in a cup.
Beautiful, did you?
Oh yeah, I went and did it, but I still think it's, you know, I don't know, I think it's kind of crappy for them to sit there and be like, hey, tomorrow go pee in a cup after, you know, they haven't contacted me for 2 months, so, you know, I've pretty much given up on them.
Yeah, but they've got the leverage, don't they?
Oh yeah, of course they do. So of course I went and I called my boss and been like, hey, I've got something I gotta do tomorrow. I know I already told you I'd come work today, but.
Yeah.
Oh, I love corporate America.
Well, you know, I realize that's sarcasm, and it's because corporate America doesn't love you. Corporate America doesn't love. For all that talk of the fact that corporations are people, they don't love. Only people can love. Ergo, they are not people. But that's, I'm crazy.
Yeah. According to the right-wingers, we all are crazy. The campaign in the area in here is starting to heat up. Our local sheriff is just, I'm wondering if he's going to get indicted. The federal grand jury has been investigating him for a while, just as an update to that. They keep saying they're going to put a report out, and, you know, I talked to some people, and the rumor mill is saying that folks who are kind of close into the investigation are saying that the grand jury is going to indict him, but, you know, we don't know. He's getting challenged left, right, and center from everybody from his own party to, I think we've even got a Democrat running against him. We've actually got several Democratic candidates, in the city now who are running for, you know, we've got a Democrat running for the coroner, we've got a Democrat running for a couple posts county seat. I'm trying to think.
County commission.
Thank you! Ding, ding, ding.
Toaster.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, we got Democrats running left, right, and center, and Bob, that is unheard of in this area. I mean, I wish I could stress that. It's not heard of to have Democrats running for anything around here, and we're having them pop out of the woodwork every other direction.
Well, you got to remember, it pays to pay attention. Some of them may be mugwumps. Some proportion of them have to be mugwumps. These are people who are running away from the Republican brand because the Republican brand has a big skull and crossbones on it this year. Other ones may be people who didn't have a chance before, but now that the Republicans have finally and thoroughly screwed this country and your neck of the woods too, they've got a shot. You know, there is an open question as to whether some of the right wing poison is wearing off in this country. I don't know. I don't know.
I gotta hope so, because I don't know how much more of this we can take.
The answer to that is none. I mean,
yeah, but that's been the answer since about 2000. So,
no, not really. It's we're reaching a critical mass. I'm happy. I'm not happy, but I am perfectly content in my assessment that if we wind up with John Sidney McCain the third, in the White House in January of 2009, it's over. I mean, we'll totter and dodder along for a while, and we'll put Band-Aids on sucking chest wounds, but it'll be over. The American experiment will be done. They're not going to have, they won't hang a sign. There won't be any flashing neon lights saying, you know, done, 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 over, 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 evil scientist, boo. There won't be any of that, but it will be done. It'll be over. The American dream will be finished, kaput, you know, done. And I've never said that before.
I'm talking to my dad the other day. He's almost convinced it's that way already.
But we're not far from it. I mean, we're... And that's the, you know, that's the back and forth between the people who say, well, you know, maybe we should let McCain have this and let it all go to crap on his watch. But there will, but the problem with that is there will still be a Democratic Congress to blame. And they will, because Republicans do not take personal responsibility for anything that they do.
I was going to say, Bob, for crying out loud, we could have no single Democrat. We could have Democrats regulated to cleaning the toilets in this country, and that's all Democrats are allowed to do. Somehow, it will still be our fault.
Well, as long as the media is structured in the way that it is, that's why one of the things that we've got to howl for early and often is real reform of media ownership. Even if it comes to a divestiture issue, even if the Clear Channels and the Salems and so forth and the Sinclairs of this world have to be AT&T'd, it is a vital and critical necessity to the health of the republic.
Yeah, but To be honest with you, Bob, don't get me wrong. I don't want to turn this into I don't even know how to quite phrase this, so I'll just come out and say it. Do you really think the Democratic candidates or the Democratic leadership as we have them right now are honestly going to do that? I don't.
No, I got a really sickening Democrat story in the stack that will, you know, just turn your guts green. Even though it passed with 75 votes in the Senate, The Iraq war funding bill has gone back to the House, and guess what the House is going to do? The House is going to cut out the extra 13 weeks of unemployment compensation in order to create a bill that George Bush will sign. The Senate didn't even want it cut out. They passed it that way and handed it over. But Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer are going to carve that out so that they can keep the war going.
And that's exactly my point. I mean,
I know.
Sometimes, Bob, I don't mean to sound, you know, all doom and gloom here, but sometimes I wonder, even if we elect Democrats this time around, sometimes I think maybe even that's just a bandage, bandage. Oh, I can't talk tonight. Bandage right now. I mean, you know. What, I mean, we can all go about democratic principles and democratic this and democrat that, but I mean, we don't have Democrats in the vein of John F. Kennedy or, you know, Robert Kennedy, or I'm trying to think of a great Democrat who wasn't a Kennedy, right?
FDR.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, we don't have Democrats in those veins anymore. I mean, we're not all like, they're not all, you know, they're not all Joe Liberman's yet, but they're rapidly heading that way.
I understand what you're saying completely.
And I don't see any indication really that anybody's putting pressure on them not to be that way. You know, there was an interesting article in Time, I think it was, where basically they were saying, you know, okay, well, with this whole thing that Ted Kennedy, he's got this, you know, brain tumor now that's, you know, the survival rate on that thing is not great. I mean, pretty much he's probably going to be dead in a year or two is pretty much everything I'm reading is saying.
Sadly,
you know,
yeah.
Who's going to be the new icons of the Democratic Party? Who are going to be the people who come up and be that firebrand, be that leader, be that person? Nobody I'm seeing right now is going to be that person.
Well, there are those out there who think they're that person, and we could...
Oh, yeah, they all think they are, and then they all turn out to, you know, they finally get in a position where they can do something, and, oh, well, impeachment's off the table. Oh, well, you know, we got to cut this
But
thing
the thing is, we've got to identify... The trick is to identify the people who aren't that way and lift them up. You know, the Kuciniches, Bob, the guy I talked to a couple of weeks ago, Bob Filner, sounded that way. You know,
okay, but not to throw this in there right now, Bob, but you just brought up something else I want to point out before I forget about it. You know, we are doing that already, where we have identified the people like Kucinich and we have identified the people like Edwards, and every flipping time those people get in any position to try and actually start to do some good, you know what happens? Their funding dries up, because the people who are the movers and the shakers, like the Clintons and whatnot, they don't want those people in power because those people will damage their base.
But that's the nature of the political process, always is and always has been. I mean, it's a bare knuckled contact sport, Vince. And the people do have a say in this. Among other things, if we stop letting ourselves be marginalized by being regionalized, you know, I vote in a congressional district, I have a congressman, therefore I'm only concerned with my congressional race. Bug spray. You know, that's why I'm having the Byron DeLeer on tonight.
Okay.
You know, guys from Missouri doesn't have a chance of getting a vote from me or most of the people listening to this program. But if he is someone that they feel like they can support, they can help him. They can help him to rise to power in his district, and then demand respect and demand response from him. You know, I won't have any potential politician on this program who doesn't understand from the outset that responsiveness to the people is the core and the essence of a progressive or a liberal agenda. You know, Ted Kennedy doesn't advocate Massachusetts bills in the Senate. Ted Kennedy has been called the lion of the left or whatever because of the stuff that he has championed on behalf of all Americans. And see, that's one thing that the Republicans and the so-called conservatives are very good at recognizing that. And they lionize and they iconize, if that's a word, people that have absolutely nothing to do with them in their districts. But they will advance them in the name of the overall agenda. And that is, at the end of the day, Vince, that is the lesson that we so desperately need to learn. And we haven't. We haven't learned it from a media standpoint. We haven't learned it from a political standpoint. We don't have our head around it at all. And the only manifestation in the other direction that you see out of this is the uprising that has formed around Barack Obama. And that is one of the hopeful things out of it, is that we start thinking like Americans again, because we have been so balkanized. We have been so isolated that we have come to think that there is no such thing as national greatness. And right now there isn't. But that person is out there who can be. But they have to have the support of the people. They just do.
Okay, but the point is that, you know, I had a candidate I wanted to support that way. Bob, he was forced out of the contest before I could even vote for him.
Oh, I know. I know.
How am I supposed to raise up the candidate that I think is the best if he can't even get the funding to keep a campaign going long enough to even get voted in every state in the union?
Well, they have to be good enough at it on their end to be able to keep going. You know, you can't push a rope. I don't understand why John Edwards bailed out a week before Super Tuesday. I will never understand that. He bailed out a week before Super Tuesday and didn't have to. He could have just sat there and gone, you know, and traveled to exactly nowhere and run up exactly nothing in the way of a bill. But, I mean, it was a 7-day period between when he bailed and Super Tuesday. You get my meaning?
Yeah.
You know, don't quit. You know, don't come out here telling me you want my vote if you're going to bail on me. I don't run. You know, the Republicans have those bumper stickers, Vincent. These colors don't run. You know what? As a liberal, as a progressive, I damned well don't run. I have never run. I won't run in the face. When I had to deal with little right-wing piglets every night in Beckley, West Virginia on the air, I didn't run. And I gave them as good as they, you know, I gave as good as I got and more so. And that's the attitude we need. You know, if we want politicians who won't run, We have to lead by the example. We set the example. Don't wait for them to lead. They're not our elected leaders. Tom Hartman says this all the time. They're not our elected leaders. They're our elected representatives. And therefore, they are a manifestation of our will. And so, you know, we gotta have the rock solid spines in order to give them, in order to pass them on. Does this make any sense at all?
Yep. One last thing I wanted to bring up, and because I really don't have an opinion on it, but it kind of falls in with the whole prayer meeting thing going. Me and my dad were talking the other day, and My dad was pretty fed up. Is pretty fed up with the process because he, like I, was an Edwards supporter and didn't like Hillary Clinton and kind of was shaky on Barack Obama. And my dad got really upset that Barack Obama left his church. Not because my dad is any uber religious person by any stretch of the imagination, but my dad felt that, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but my dad basically said, well, he says that he left his church because the church now doesn't espouse the views that he feels that he stands for. And my dad was like, the church has been espousing those views for the 20-some-odd years he's been there. And from my dad's point of view, it showed that Obama had no principles. Now, again, that's just what he told me.
I
developed no opinion on that.
Well, I'm just personally offended that, you know, I don't think Barack Obama left his church. I think Barack Obama got run out of his church. And the nerve, the abject nerve of anybody in this country, especially the right-wing fundamentalists who think that the First Amendment is nothing more than a life support system for the religion industry, the nerve that they would criticize a man for the church he goes to is nauseating to me. You know, the only reason they didn't run George Bush out of his church, I guess, is because George Bush has never gone to church.
Well, the point I don't think necessarily is that, you know, he shouldn't have, my dad was mad that he left his church. I think the point was is that my dad kind of felt the same way that, you know, they shouldn't have been making that an issue. But since they did decide to make that an issue, Obama should have stuck to his guns and not left the church.
He was faced with a Faustian dilemma, Vince, because. As a man who is being, you know, shown to America as black, you know, he can't get all uppity and say, you won't run me out of my church. Because then the white people will get even more scared. This isn't a religion issue. This is a race issue. And, I mean, I'm sorry I see it that way, but I just do. So, you know, I mean, at least examine it from that standpoint. I mean, how long did it take us, you know, John McCain said, well, I never went to Pastor Hagee's church. Precisely, sir. That means you are a shameless, craven, political hypocrite. You're a charlatan. You're a fraud. And you are, in fact, a prostitute. Because he used John Hagee the way a John uses a hooker, but you know, but he tries to sugarcoat it. And now, you know, now there's a story out saying that John Hagee has had an open line to the White House for 8 years now.
Okay.
Because again, that's how the right wing operates.
I wish I could have an open line to the White House.
So, yeah, you got that.
Of course, that happened. The Secret Service probably beyond me in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, you don't want, no. Nobody wants me calling the White House. You know, call George at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, George, you have Prince Albert in a can?
Hey, Laura, it's that feller wanting to know if I've got, I don't smoke, do I?
3 o'clock the next morning. Hey, George, is your refrigerator running? But that's because I'm an ass. Hey, Vince, I got to roll along, brother.
All right, Bob. Nice talking to you.
All right, good talking to you.
Hope you keep getting better, man.
I'm going to try. I'll starve to death in the process, but I'm going to try.
All right.
See you, man. Bye.
See ya.
Our buddy Vince down in the wilds of conservative Georgia. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Oh, couple of things. first of all, this, and this came up in chat. I spotted it on the web, but it did come up in chat. Mr. Sulu and his partner are going to be married.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I suggested, I guess, about 2 weeks ago that they use the Vulcan ceremony.
Yeah. And
so that William Shatner will have to fight for his life in order to, you know, but we've seen the episode.
Right. And the other thing was religious insanity isn't peculiar to the United States. A article out of France. A French court has annulled a Muslim woman's marriage because it turned out she wasn't a virgin.
Choice. Can't beat that. Why does that remind me of the scene from Life of Brian where they say, if it's not too personal, are you a virgin? If it's not too personal! Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's a virgin.
I don't believe these people. I really don't.
Welcome to religion.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get over that that woman in Oklahoma. What was her name? The one who basically put the
Sally Kern
law through.
Yeah, Sally Kern, the gay people are worse than cancer. Yes, that woman.
Oh, well, she rammed another one, sir.
Oh, was
the belief law, you know, 2 + 2 = 5 because God said it so.
Yeah, and you're in earth science class, and the question on the test says roughly how old is the earth, and the answer is 4.5 billion years, but the kid writes
5,212 years.
And you have to mark it correct and give the kid an A.
I did see a post on that from somebody in Oklahoma, and I thought it was great because they said they were going to instruct their kids to put the wrong answer down and say that the flying spaghetti monster told them to do it.
The flying spaghetti monster has got to intervene in Oklahoma because
they were going to sue if they were discriminated against.
Exactly. The kid has to put down that the Earth was formed by the flying spaghetti monster. By the way, I was watching a thing. I guess it was from Nova. It was called The Elegant Universe.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about string theory and stuff.
And if that's not the flying spaghetti monster, I don't know what is.
Exactly. I mean, there was a representation, and I'm sure it was not intentional, but I was sitting there in this hydrocodone-induced haze last week, and I'm watching it on the laptop, and I've got the little earbuds in, and I see that, and I went, holy crap, it's the flying spaghetti monster! Agnes is sitting over here rubbing her eyes, and Bob, what are you doing to the, what do you mean hydrocodone induced haze? Oh, I can hear the listeners tuning out, Bob.
Hey, if you think hydrocodone is interesting, you ought to try oxycodone.
Oh, I did. I had a couple of those to get started.
Yeah.
And they were much better. Yeah, chew those up for the refreshing burst of flavor.
Yeah, that's what they had Donald on, you know, and he just kind of flew off into the sunset, you know.
Yeah, Agnes is reaching for her seppuku sword now. But no, really, I got to thinking about it, Susan, and unless I'm the guy who founded the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, the guy who first scrawled on the piece of notebook paper, first he made a mountain and a tree and a dwarf.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a graduate student in physics in Oregon or Idaho or somewhere?
Oregon.
Well, it's all, you know, as
Oregon or Washington.
It may turn out that the guy has a better handle on theology than 99% of your PhD theologians out there. Because there's a lot in string theory that just looks an awful lot like the fly, and there were some pictures of like nebulas and stuff during the Big Bang
it looked exactly like that. I mean, I saw the meatballs, okay? Hallelujah, I did.
Uh-huh. I know it looks a lot like it. It's just weird. And you're sitting there going, I just had an epiphany, and I'm not even stoned.
And you know, I got to tell you, I try to, Agnes is really, really militant with me about, you know, Bob, you can't involve the children in your nuttiness. You just can't. But I swear, if they pass one of those bills here in West Virginia, if some fundy freak manages, and because, you know, Joe Manchin would sign it in a heartbeat, if they pass one of those things here in West Virginia, I am going to insist that when our precious daughter gets to 10th grade biology, and they start, I'm going to tell her that she is absolutely, if they pass one of those laws, that she is free to sight the flying spaghetti monster at will.
Oh.
And I will fight all the way to the West Virginia Supreme Court on her behalf.
And, hey, you have got to, if she does it, send me copies. I will post them.
Oh yeah, you know, and once I explain, you know, hey, this is your chance at your 15 minutes of fame. I mean, if she doesn't, the next one will, because he'll do anything for 15 minutes of fame. I mean, I haven't told him about the kid in South Carolina who wore the pirate costume to school yet, because I'm just afraid to.
Oh.
Because Ferg will be going around the house going, yar, you know, within minutes of me telling him about it.
Oh, my God, Dave, you've got flying spaghetti monster things for your phone.
Ringtones? Or what? I mean, backgrounds? Wallpapers?
Background.
Yeah, wallpapers? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Hey, Susan, we've got this conversation coming up, so I need to roll along for a second.
Okay.
All right.
You have a wonderful time, and may his noodly goodness reach out and touch you. And
may you be touched by his noodly appendage each and every day. Ramen.
Ramen.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Somebody out there needs to craft a flying spaghetti monster hymn or something. We need that. So that's the first hour of the program. I hope you've had as much fun as I have. We're off to a good start, saying grace at Wendy's and... And there's more. And there's some grim stuff, too. But we'll have an interesting conversation with Byron DeLeer here in just a moment.
They did?
In the meantime, we'll take a little musical interlude. And we'll come back, hopefully, with Byron DeLeer. Ready to go. This is America's occasionally listener-supported liberal voice. By the way, we're off to a really, really rocky start for June, folks. I mean, really rocky. I mean, no water on the rocks. It's all rocks, okay? Just saying. So, America's occasionally listener-supported liberal voice. That's us. This is The Horn. We'll be back.
Dear God, hope you got the letter, and I pray you can make it better down here. I don't mean a big reduction in the price of beer, but all the people that you made in your image, see them starving on their feet. They don't get enough to eat from God. Can't believe in you.
Dear God, sorry to disturb you, but I feel that I should be loud and clear. We all need a big reduction in amount of tears. All the people that you made in your image sit on fighting in the street.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then, Prayer Meeting Wednesday rolls on 2 minutes, almost 3 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. Awfully glad to have you along as we slide down toward the end of the week. And as promised, as I told you in the first hour, we are joined at the beginning of this, the second hour, by a good progressive candidate for Congress, someone you all need to know about, someone you need to meet, running for the House of Representatives from Missouri's 2nd District, which is a St. Louis district. I'm proud to have on the show and introduce to you right now Byron DeLeer. Byron, are you there?
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Yeah, getting along okay. Is this West Virginia I'm talking to?
You're talking to the whole wide world, my friend.
Very good.
But we are headquartered in West Virginia, so...
Well, that's a good thing. It's a
yeah.
good place to be headquartered.
Yeah. Let's just get started right off the bat. Folks know who you are. They know what you're running for, what the district is, who your Bush lackey opponent is in November. Tell us a little bit about what you hope to bring to the Congress.
Well, you know, I think that we need some big picture ideas to start to be amplified in Washington. Right now, we have a situation where a large quantity of the laws and the legislation that are being passed are controlled and manipulated by special interests, by the 67,000 lobbyists that infest Washington. In fact, a great number of the laws that impact the health industry or the oil industry or, for example, our trade legislation happens to be controlled by a select few individuals, and I don't necessarily think that they're representing the long-term interests of the lion's share of the American populace anymore. And that to me is a harrowing situation, because certainly we've seen how this unbalanced economic agenda that's been coming out of Washington for really decades has made us vulnerable as Americans. It's made us vulnerable in terms of shipping good-paying American manufacturing jobs overseas. It's made us vulnerable in denying upwards of 50 million Americans health care. And all these flaws that are suffering the folks here in our country point towards some core defects that reside in our federal government that need to be addressed. And to me, that core defect is, of course, the compromising and polluting influence of how big money runs roughshod over the middle class and over the American people's interests.
Well, I don't think there's anybody listening who would disagree with a word that you just said. How do you have any ideas as to how we begin to remove that corrupting influence of corporate money, lobby money, from the process? Does it begin with something like publicly financed election campaigns? Where would you start?
You hit the nail right on the head. You're right on the money, no pun intended. It does begin with public financing public financing of campaigns. But to me, the kind of slogan that encapsulates this agenda is what I like to call the separation of buck and state, and buck meaning dollars. And what I mean by that is that we truly need to erect an ethical wall of separation between our public and private institutions to free the hands of our political officials and our legislators to serve rather than be selling all the time, selling out the infrastructure of our country, selling out the economic landscape to foreign banks and foreign governments. I mean, just as a side note, one of the shocking statistics of the Bush administration is that at a time of war, while our nation was at war, the Bush administration has put us in debt to foreign banks and foreign governments more than all 42 previous administrations in the history of the United States combined. In other words, George Bush, in his rush towards indebtedness, has outspent history. All 42 previous administrations from 1776 to 2001, the total debt to foreign banks and foreign governments was $1 trillion. Just in the first 4 years of his administration, he eclipsed that. So this is actually an assault on the sovereign integrity of the United States. But to get back to your earlier point, what public financing of campaigns would do is it would provide for a hybrid system through which we would have our existing kind of privatized electoral system where everybody's dialing